بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. We always begin with the praise of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most kind, the most merciful, the benevolent. We send peace, salutation, salawat upon Imam al-Anbiya, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma fassalli wa sallim wa an'im wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. We continue inshaAllah ta'ala our session Al-Qur'an fi hayati, Qur'an in my personal life during this month of Ramadan, in this attempt to build a closer relationship with the Qur'an, the kalam and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the 21 juz of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention and begins Surah Al-Ahzab, a surah which is also known, or the surah and the chapter of the Battle of the Trench, or also known as the Battle of Al-Ahzab. This was a very different battle, and in fact was a battle where Quran discusses the difficulties that the Muslims had undergone and the initial stress that was faced during the course of this battle. During the course of this battle, there was also one matter aside from the matters related directly to the battle, and that was that hijab and the veil, or the hijab, was introduced as a formal requirement for women. Quran, when it describes and made mention of this injunction, this was a unique change, and it was a revolutionary change that had come to this ummah. The Arab society of that time was generally by and large strange to the idea of segregation, and it was strange to the idea of hijab. How do we determine this? Because Quran uses a term here that وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. Quran uses this, or declares this era, as an era of ignorance, or it refers to it as the Jahiliyyah of Ula. In other words, that the Muslim Ummah of this time, the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was asked to move away from the societal practices and the cultural practices of the time. And therefore, Quran declares that era as Al-Jahiliyyatul Ula. The Muslim instruction is given, the introduction of hijab, the formal requirement of hijab is given. Ulama have written one unique matter as well, in that when Quran has declared this as Al-Jahiliyyatul Ula, the first Jahiliyyah, or the Jahiliyyatul Ula, gives the impression that there will be a second or a latter Jahiliyyah to come. And what we are witnessing today in the world that we are living certainly fits that bill, that we have entered the era of the second or the latter Jahiliyyah. When it comes to the matter of hijab, these ayat are very unique in that all of them are addressing the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From those who are proponents and are adamant on watering down and working very hard to lower the teachings of the Quran and the matter of hijab, among these arguments is that these verses were only meant, instructed for the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is a true statement that every one of these verses address directly the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, what needs to be realized is that the household of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of its primary duties is that it was given and it was charged with becoming the model for the rest of mankind, the rest of society, and the rest of the community. And therefore, For a revolutionary change to occur in such practices, naturally the presence of those who were in the leadership positions, those who were the standard bearers, were those whom the instruction and the injunctions would be addressed to first, because they would then uphold the standard. Being the standard bearers of society would set the standard, and hence the influence would be imparted from here. When we carefully analyze and read the ayat and the verses wherein these instructions are given, this will be amplified and will become clear. From among the first of these verses, Quran talks about Ya Nisa al-Nabi, that O wives of the Prophet, لَسْتُنَّكَ أَحَدٍ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ, you are not like any other women. إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُنَّ فَإِنِ اتَّقَيْتُنَّ, I, if you will observe taqwa and you will observe righteousness, then you are not like other women. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ, therefore do not be too soft in your speech, in other words, when talking with a foreign male. فَيَطْبَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ, that will harbor and will create in his heart a disease. In other words, disease here means inclination to you or about you. وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا, and speak appropriate, necessary words. Now this ayah makes two points here, that the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are a standard or are a level above other women because of the taqwa, number one. And number two, in that talking to other men, their talk should avoid the display of the natural disposition of a female charm. And the reason for this is to prevent the development of any disease or inclination or fancy in the heart. And when we look at this, there are two points of distinction here. One is taqwa, and the other is that talking in a way that creates a fancy or a disease in the heart of the opposite person. If we are to say that this ayah is exclusive to the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, would it then mean that the development of taqwa and the possibility of desire or disease being created in the opposite heart, was that only the concern of the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or was it the concern of every single woman? Certainly, this principle applies to every single woman. We then go to the next verse, where the instruction comes, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, that you remain in your home. You, O wives of the Prophet, قَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, you should remain in your home. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى, and you should not expose, you should not flaunt your charms as they would flaunt them in the earlier days of ignorance. وَأَقِمْنَ الصَّلَاةِ, you the wives of the Prophet, you should establish prayer. وَآتِينَ الزَّكَاةِ, and you should give zakah. وَأَطِعْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and you should obey Allah and His Messenger. The question arises here that to move away from the practices of Jahiliyyah, was this only addressed to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or was it an address for every woman of this ummah, that you need to move away from the practices of Jahiliyyah? Then the instruction of Salah and Zakah comes, that is it an exclusive directive that only the wives of the Nabi need to pray? Do they need to only give zakah? Clearly this is not the case. The instruction of salah is for every woman. The instruction of zakah is for every woman. And therefore this ayah as an exclusive, though addressed directly to the wives of the Nabi of Allah, them being the standard bearers of the women of this ummah, the standard bearers of society, the instructions which are channeled towards them will be an instruction which is channeled to every woman of this ummah. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, that you should remain in your home, because this is part and parcel of hijab. Hijab has many levels, and this is one level of it, that out of non-necessity, that you should not leave your home, because this is the fundamental part of the component of what is holistic hijab. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later on in the surah, the Quran mentions in Surah Al-Ahzab that Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ. That, O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers that يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ, that they should draw, يُدْنِينَ, to keep close.